A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, AC Law, Daquan Cook, Joey Devine, Gabe Pruitt, Jermario Davidson, Sean Keen, Kirillo Fasenko, Stanko Barac, Patreons, Delamuka, thank you Delamuka, Forrest Walker, thank you Forrest, Max Stanley Williams, thank you Max, musical guest, Dengue Fever, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my very good friend, co-host, sports writer, song maestro, stand-up comedian, writer, any other titles I'm missing?
Nanny? I'm like a part-time nanny?
Manny.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Doing well.
Sick, dude.
I booked a flight to the Pacific Northwest just an hour ago.
Are you going to go to Kennard?
I'm going to Seattle.
Oh, are you going to go to the Experience Music Project?
I'm just going to go wherever my lawyer tells me to go.
Before we get started on the show, though, some business up at the top. Follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod. Email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone at the number embedded in the description of this episode. And if you feel like giving us some money, we'll take it at patreon.com/roundrockpod. You can get in the Always Jumpin' Discord for only $3, and you can get bonus weekly episodes for $5 a month. Mm-hmm. $20 gets you a t-shirt, $10 gets you buttons. All right.
I'm always shocked by just how much the Discord is popping off, too.
Incredibly popped off.
It's a constant thing.
It's also the only place on the internet where you can this is bled into the audio show a little bit, but it's the only place where you can directly have a conversation with the man, the myth, the mystery himself, Corbin A. Smith from Vice Sports, Willamette Weekly, Deadspin, Daily Beast.
That Seahawks blog.
Yeah, maven.com/Seahawks. Or is it like sportsillustrated.com/maven/Seattle Seahawks?
Slash GeoCities.
Angel Fire, tilde Live Journal, tilde Friendster. All right. Also, if you could, give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this pod on. And I actually would like to ask our listeners to do us a favor, if they could. Subscribe to us on Spotify. You don't have to listen to us there, but I think the subscription numbers would help sell this place for $250 million.
Right, right. Look.
Which is why we got into the business.
We're just a couple 5-star reviews away from being a multimedia empire.
And also, if you feel like it, you can subscribe to us on YouTube, even though we only just post the episodes up there at search Round Rock Pod on YouTube. That's it, right? Business over?
I think that's right, yeah.
Well, Sean, you know what we're doing today? We are going to meticulously recap Kobe Bryant's funeral.
That's true, because there's nowhere else in the, Podcaverse.
Mm-hmm. Podcastiverse?
Yeah, the Round Ball Raw. Yeah, the I don't know. Joey, did you watch it?
No, I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, I did. I watched the parts that everyone saw.
Yeah.
Guess what? Like, it was a funeral. It was sad, and also there were funny speeches from people. It's like,
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
But also,
but also, mainly, do not recap it on a podcast with Jared Dudley. That's all I'm gonna say.
What if you learned upwards of 32 things about the podcast about the funeral?
Well, then you should be writing 10,000 words on theathletic.com. But here's what we're gonna do. We've got a lot of backlog of reader questions and voicemails. So, we're going to do that today and then maybe get to some news, probably just one news story where we make fun of a man who's had way too much plastic surgery and way too many sexual assault cases against him. All right. but first, let's go to the phones.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, our first question comes from our friend Dubberoo. He called 2 weeks in a row. Dubberoo called us. Mm-hmm. You meet the guy in person once and then he won't stop calling you, which I like it. But last week you and I were talking about jump soles.
We were. I'll be honest. I kind of forget how we got on the subject.
I mean, I kind of
Robert Pera.
It was Robert Pera. I always want to talk about jump soles, so, hit me up on Twitter. I'm Jump Sole Hive, hashtag Jump Sole Hive.
If you'd like to advertise on the podcast and you are a manufacturer or distributor of jump soles or jump soles related products, please hit us up on Twitter or just leave us a voicemail and we will, let's talk some business, guys.
Or mail me a pair at Sean, should I have said my address live on the podcast?
You know what? Yeah, because you know why?
I want to pair of jump soles.
You're going to be wearing some sweet ass jump soles, dude.
I
can you imagine that with those little golf balls on the front of your shoes?
So sick.
What if that was my thing as a comic, though, Joey? I was the stand-up comic who only performed in jump soles, and pretty much all my jokes were just about jump soles too. And like dunks.
We should probably explain what jump soles are again real quick. For those of you that don't know, we talked about it last week, but look, I don't expect everyone to listen to every episode. Jump soles.
I do, but I'm working through that with my therapist.
Jump soles were these scam artist shoes that made you walk on your tiptoes that told you if you wore them enough, you could dunk.
Uh-huh.
And they looked insane. You might recognize them from the Seinfeld episode that also has Mel Torme in it. Because Jimmy from Seinfeld wore them.
Yes.
But luckily, we know someone who has worn jump soles, and he called us. And even luckier, it's one of our very good friends, one of our oldest listeners. Oldest listener, I believe, belongs to a member of your family, probably, Sean.
I don't think my dad listens.
Oh, man. Wow.
He does read my Yard Barker article.
Anyway, here's Dubberoo to talk about jump soles.
Hey, everybody. It's Dubberoo. I listened to my last call and was quite whatever because I was clearly 3 days hungover from going up to Podstar Weekend. So a little more energy today, but I'm just catching up on the latest pod. And you wanted somebody to call in about the old jump soles from Robert Pera. Yeah, I owned a pair, and I'm sure my dad, rest in peace, loved the fact that they cost about $150. And the best I did with them was wear them around the house quite a bit as a tween and teenager. I did not do all the cool things you're supposed to do with them to get you able to jump. I was able to dunk at one point in my life. Those things did not help me at all. And, yeah, I carried them around for a long time. The weird thing about them is there's also this little contraption you put on the front of the platform that is about the size of a half of a golf ball. So then you balance even more on your toes, and you're supposed to do like J.J. Watt box jumps with them. Needless to say, as an uncoordinated white kid, I would have killed myself if I was actually trying to do those things growing up. But yes, I had jump soles. No, they didn't help me at all. Yes, I did wear them around the house like a weirdo quite a bit. And, yeah, I got nothing out of them except thought I was going to be able to jump at some point, but I never was able to. All right, thanks, guys. Also, Joey, sorry. I didn't mean to say that you'd stop insulting me. You never insulted me. I was trying to come up with some joke, but I was hungover, and that's all I got. Later, guys.
Thank you for calling, Dubberoo. Please call us whenever you want.
Also, good job, Dubberoo. I know you weren't bragging. That's not the kind of guy you are. But
my man could dunk.
He appropriately mentioned his ability to dunk.
Yeah.
It was in context, and I was really impressed and jealous.
I think I've said this before on the show, but I would like to reiterate it again in case there's any genie or, like, monkey's paws out there listening.
Uh-huh.
I would give up 5 years of my life to dunk one time on a regulation hoop.
Can I ask you about your ideal scenario for that?
Sure, sure. I mean, I haven't played basketball since, I want to say, 2010. And even then, I was not good at it. But, I mean, it's got to be on somebody, and it's got to be really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Preferably one-handed. Maybe a two-hand windmill. Maybe a two-hand reverse. That'd be pretty cool. But I really, look, I want a Baron Davis on Andre Kirilenko somebody. And I would give up the last 5 years of my life. I would die 5 years earlier for sure to do it just the one time. Not even in front of a crowd, just to know what it feels like, you know what I mean?
On video, do you think?
Nah, I don't even need that.
Damn. All right. Well, if you are a genie, The phone number is in the show notes. Again, if you are a wish-granting genie, own a monkey's paw, or...
A devil at a crossroads.
A devil at a crossroads with a golden pair of jump soles.
Hit us up. Speaking of someone who hits us up all the time, and last week's episode, we're really creating a universe here. This is like a narrative podcast now.
Yeah. Also, I want to mention one more thing to Dubaru.
Yeah.
Because I know he had them when he was like 13 years old. And now that I've like met and touched Dubaru, all I was imagining was him doing box jumps in the jump soles. But it's how he looks now.
Right. Oh, for sure.
He is 6 foot five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of last week's show. Last week we had our friend, we've mentioned him once already, Corbin A. Smith, frequent guest, frequent caller, former host of the Take It or Break It podcast. Someone called him up to make I wouldn't even say make fun of him necessarily.
It was like a tribute. It was like a cover band. Of a Corbin call.
Yeah, there was a fake... We had an imposter Corbin call last week, which, by the way, I want to make very clear, Sean and I had no hand in the making of that call. That was just delivered to us right away. We don't even know who did it.
As anonymous as a ransom note. Yeah.
But Corbin had a response to fake Corbin. So let's play Corbin's drop and then that call.
Big Corb's Corner. Big Corb's Corner. Big Corb's Corner. A call from Corb's.
Hey there, Big Corb's here. First things first, I need to address some so-called satirical phone calls that have been made to this show recently. I would just like to remind everybody, calling in here, making fun of me for putting away my dishes. Rude. I am a, nationally published writer, Deadspin, Daily Beast, Vice Sports, many major publications. Have paid me, and everybody who called in to take shots at me is a fucking nobody who wakes up every morning and looks in the mirror and sees the thing they hate the most. So nothing you can say to me can hurt me because I am very successful and powerful, and you are scum. But I didn't just call in to air grievances with my many fucking enemies who listen to this program. What I called in to ask is, I've been thinking a lot lately. I've read Ethan Sherwood Strauss's wonderful book, The Victory Machine, recently. Press copy. Once again, national writer. Those are the kinds of fucking privileges I get. And there's sort of a lot of talk in the book about whether or not succeeding at basketball makes anybody happy. And so my question for you guys is, what player that has recently won a title was most emotionally satisfied by their victory? Thank you for taking my question, Joey and Sean. You guys are cool. I like you guys. Some of these other people, I don't fucking care for them.
All right, Sean, that was intense. Also,
that was intense.
Second braggy call of the day. I would say Dubaru's was more of a humble brag about how he could dunk. But
yeah,
that one was just straight up really throwing a lot of fire.
This had some elements of Tupac's Hit 'Em Up. I would say. Also, that, I mean, am I being crazy by saying that Big Corbs was displaying Mamba mentality with that call.
I would like to say, though, real quick, we love Corbs for sure, obviously. Yeah. We love Big Corbin. Read his, subscribe to his his Substack, Bad Photo Journalism. Read him on the Daily Beast. Follow him on Twitter for all your Captain Marvel take is actually hot takes.
Oh, and check out Kelly Dwyer's The Second Arrangement, too, which is also a Substack.
Well, and Katie Heindel's Basketball Feelings. That's the Roundball Rock reading list, Substack reading list. But
Lewis Keene also has a Clipper one. But you can actually just read Lewis Keene in, like, the New York Times, too. So that you can find him there.
Corbin's rants are his own. We don't support Corbin in telling our listeners to fuck themselves or bragging about how many privileges he gets. But if you are Ethan Sherwood Strauss or the publisher of Ethan Sherwood Strauss's wonderful book, The Victory Machine, I would like a copy, and you can mail that to me at...
Joey,
I
think that was again a bad idea.
I don't know. I think I really want a copy of Ethan Sherwood Strauss's The Victory
Machine.
I mean,
it sounds great. It does sound great. okay, so Corbin did ask us a question.
Oh, he did? I missed it. In telling our listeners to fuck themselves repeatedly. What was the question?
It is which player who recently won a title was most emotionally satisfied by their victory? I think there's a clear answer.
I also think there's a clear answer.
Okay, I think it's Kyle Lowry.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's J.R. Smith.
I don't feel like that. I mean, he had a great time. I don't really think that J.R. Smith is all about the rings.
It's not about being all about the rings. It's about, it made him famous for, reasons other than, like, throwing a guy's phone in the garbage or killing his friend in a car accident. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he became a respectable, it's a respect thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was short-lived.
Yeah, it's true. It was short-lived. But I think at the time...
He became like the Fred Merkel of the NBA Finals.
I do think at the time that was the most emotionally satisfied anyone's been winning a title. I mean, LeBron's first title was also probably pretty emotionally satisfying.
Yeah.
Dirk?
I thought Lowry, man, though. Like... It's almost, I mean, Dirk, very emotionally satisfying. That whole, I would say that team collectively.
The Dallas team? Yeah.
Because it's like, it's so many more guys than you realize. It's like, it's all these guys who, like, peaked at sixth place in an MVP vote. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like old Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, Peja, Bront Butler.
My thing about Kyle Lowry... And I agree he was probably definitely emotionally satisfied, is I think there's two things. One, I bet there was a little bit of him that was like, I wish I could have won this with my best friend, DeMar DeRozan. And two, I do think he's probably a little annoyed at how many more people remember what Fred VanVleet was doing versus him actually winning the series. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't think that bothers him at all. It's only because of what he seems like this year.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He seems
much chiller.
Like, there's a certain amount where Dirk had that, but Dirk, like, sort of used it all up by just, like, partying all summer afterwards.
I mean, I'll tell you who.
At Mark Cuban's like, we're not bringing back Tyson Chandler. You don't have to get in shape for training camp, buddy.
I mean, I'll tell you who it isn't.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant is the least satisfied person ever to win anything, I think.
Yeah, I think it made very little difference. I think Kyrie got more out of his title, even though Kevin Durant clearly, seemingly had more to prove.
Well, I mean, Kyrie, I think it... actually cemented what he already thought about himself. You know what I mean? Which is, I just hit, like, one of the greatest shots in NBA history because I'm one of the greatest players ever and one of the greatest minds.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of our thinkers. He basically, I wonder if that, you remember that t-shirt that the Clippers made for Blake Griffin?
Mm-hmm.
With, like,
Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King.
Was Einstein on it?
Was on it. Maya Angelou, I believe, was also on it.
So I feel like Kyrie maybe made one of those for himself in college.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he had a lot of time off at Duke because he was hurt. So, like, just got into silk screening. But his, it's like weirder people. It's like, Thomas Jefferson, Deepak Chopra,
Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson, Frank Zappa.
Ben, but not Jerry.
Yeah, yeah, right. He's like, I don't. Jerry doesn't have the third eye energy. The American Taliban. The American Taliban's probably up shirt.
Yeah, oh, for sure, dude.
Christopher Dorner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's the NBA's Dorner, right?
I mean,
he's not murdering people, obviously, right. But, like, you know, but, like, his manifesto would be similar, right?
He would definitely shout out a lot of entertainers in it, for sure. But, yeah, I do, I mean, Well, okay, let's go quickly. Speed round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go through some recent champions, and you tell me which guy on the team was most emotionally satisfied by the victory.
Okay.
Okay, what, 2019 Raptors?
Either Gasol or Lowry.
Yeah, Gasol is also legit. 2018 Warriors.
Oh. JaVale McGee?
I think it's JaVale, because he wasn't on the 2017 team, right? Yeah. And then, 2017 Warriors.
David West.
I think that's right. 2016 Cavs, we said J.R. Smith. I think that's correct. 2015 Warriors.
I think it's Steph, actually.
I think it is, too. 2014 Spurs.
That's a weird one.
It's a weird team to be like, who wanted it? Because there wasn't, like, an outright GOAT the year before.
I mean, part of me wants to be like, I think it's still just Duncan. I think they all were Duncan.
I kind of think it was Duncan too, yeah.
But I'm looking at it right now. I think it's Boris Diaw. Maybe.
I could see that. He also had a great series too.
Yeah.
2013 Heat.
Is that the one? Did that have like, is that the one with Gary Payton on it?
No, that's the Ray Allen Miracle 3.
Okay.
I think they had some weird guys on that team.
I'm just trying to think.
Maybe Rashard Lewis is on that team.
Rashard Lewis is on that team, but I don't think it's him.
No.
I think it's Juwan Howard, maybe.
Okay. I was thinking maybe the Birdman. A lot of these guys were on the team the previous year.
Right, that's the problem.
It's like Jarvis Varnado.
Yeah.
I'm going to say not Dwayne Wade because that three thing he did afterwards was fucking ridiculous. It was lame. 2012 Heat.
Let's say Eddie Curry.
I think it's LeBron.
No, it's LeBron. It's absolutely LeBron.
It's Dexter Pittman getting that first ring.
Yeah, it's okay. Not Juwan Howard for the other one. It's Birdman. Birdman's not on this team.
Oh, yeah. Then it is Birdman. Birdman. Yeah, okay. I like it. 2011, it's Dirk, right?
It's either Dirk or Jason Kidd.
Yeah. And 2010 Lakers.
Powell, probably.
I think it's Ron Artest.
Oh, nope, you're right. It's Ron Artest.
Because he even hit a three in game seven. But Pau Gasol, what a champion in that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, good.
Good call, Corbs.
I'm sure we won't be hearing from you again. ever. because one of our listeners has murdered you. That's how this show officially becomes a true crime podcast, just like every other podcast.
Yes.
somebody stakes out Kennard and then murders Big Corpse.
They've got like a decoy dog that's really photogenic. Lure him into a false sense of security.
We heard from a lot of our longest listeners this week. A really long time listener, someone who one of our first listeners along with Double Roo, Christian, called. Let's hear Christian's call.
Hi, Rambal Rock. It's Christian, a long-time listener, second-time caller. And I was calling today because I was trying to think of random players who played on my favorite team, sadly the New York Knicks. And I was trying to think which team might have the best random starting five. Like players that you don't remember play for your team. For example, me being Knicks fan, we had Matt Barnes, old Jason Kidd, who was our best point guard of the 2010s, Kevin Mutombo at one point. It's just a sad list. I really don't want to start crying, but what team do you think is assembled the best random starting five? Thank you, and have a great day.
All right. So Christian asked, what team has the best most random starting five?
I mean, the Knicks are a great choice for that reason, because you just have all these guys where you're like, yeah, you know, Antonio McDias, Jalen Rose, just like these weirdo dudes who were there very briefly. I mean, it's super weird that Bargnani was on the team for that long,
right?
And like Glenn Rice, that might be going too far back. It's weird because the Warriors have had a lot of strange rosters,
but
it's not that kind of thing. Like, the organization before, like, 2012 is so devoted to failure that there aren't even, like, you would never be a fun veteran who goes there. You know, like, your random Warriors would be, like, Nick Van Exel, Cliff Robinson, and then it's just, like, mostly just like shitty guys,
right?
You know, it's weird they had Vladimir Radmanovic. That was weird. So in that sense, the recent Atlanta Hawks have been incredibly weird.
Yes. definitely. I would also say the Nets are good for this.
Oh, right, because they just have some years where it's like, yeah, Alonzo Mourning is on the Nets. Dikembe
Vince
Mutombo.
Carter on the Nets. No one will, like, but, like, also, like,
Andre Kirilenko,
yeah,
the Net.
But I only kind of know this because there's, so in the NBA 2K games now, they make all-time rosters complete with, like, you know, who NBA 2K has deemed the all-time 13 greatest players on a team. And the Nets are so bereft that D'Angelo Russell and Devin Harris are on the roster.
Oh, man. I mean, look, Andrew Wiggins is starting for Minnesota, but he's the second all-time leading scorer in franchise history.
I mean, the Hornets/Bobcats are also good for this.
There's a couple teams that just have these. There's a certain almost like cycle in the late 2000s between Phoenix, Portland, and Denver.
Yeah.
Where, like, every team just rotates who's going to have Derek Anderson, Aaron Aflalo, and, like just a weird it's amazing the amount of guys who have been on both Denver and Portland.
You know,
and it's not...
You know who I actually think my answer is for this, though?
What's that?
I think my answer is the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, man.
They've had so many weird players. I mean... Any team that's had Muggsy Bogues on it, that when he's not a Charlotte Hornet, I feel like is in the running for this.
So you've got like Del Curry, Akeem Olajuwon, Sean Marion, Jermaine O'Neal. These are just off the top of my head.
But also,
Jorge Garbajosa.
That's who I was going to say. Rafael Araujo.
Rudy Gay for like 15 months. TJ Ford. Uh-huh. They had Hito Turkoglu.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have Tayshaun Prince briefly?
I don't know, but it sounds like it could have happened.
Right. Like, there's just a lot of sort of... Charles Oakley has been on the Toronto Raptors. Marcus Camby.
Yeah. The Cavs are also a great answer for this.
Because
only did they cycle through a bunch of crazy players, like old guys with LeBron.
But then they also become like a weird dumping ground.
Yes.
Where, so it's like, you know, I mean, like their team now... That's the thing. The Cavs roster right now is like that, where it's like, well, why would you think it was strange that we had Andre Drummond, Larry Nance Jr., Kevin Love, Chetty Osmond, Brandon Knight, and John Henson on the same roster?
Yeah, that's my answer. My answer is the Cavs. You can make put the craziest collection.
Yeah, it's like
Shaq
is
on the Cavs.
Yeah, Antoine Jameson, Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
Oh, Wally Zerbiak,
yeah. Larry Hughes. Like,
just yeah, like, just like, and then like Sean Kemp was on that team.
Uh-huh. But then also just the end of like the 2015 Cavs is like the end of the bench is like people you would not even like.
Well, remember Sean Marion's retirement video?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But then it's also like
Richard Jefferson, and
but it's also like Joe Harris is there. You know what
I mean? Right,
like,
right, exactly. Yeah, like Danny Green was on the Cavs for a couple weeks.
Mo Williams on the 2015 Cavs.
Well, they've made like a surprising number of three-way trades too,
yeah, yeah.
Which I feel like just increases the madness that you have on a team like that.
Yeah, my answer is the Cavs. The Cavs, they just cycle through so many players and so many. It's like they pull names out of a hat when LeBron is there and when he's not there.
Uh-huh. And it even feels like, yeah, when LeBron wasn't there, their free agent targets were still really weird. Yeah. Like, you have LeBron, you know.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, we would have had Gordon Hayward. Yeah, we traded for Sam Dekker. That's the guy we traded for.
Like, Sean, can I just read you the Basketball Reference roster of the 2012-2013 Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah. This is, yes.
I just picked this team randomly. I randomly put a year in.
Uh-huh.
Omri Caspi. Wayne Ellington. Alonzo G. Daniel Booby Gibson. Kyrie
Jesus.
Irving.
I totally forgot Wayne Ellington was
Dude,
on that.
It's gonna get even weirder. John Luer.
Weird. Wait, he was on the Cavs?
Sean Livingston.
I did not know he was on the Cavs.
CJ Miles.
What?
Jeremy Pargo.
Amazing.
Chris Quinn. Samardo Samuels.
Chris Quinn is a white point guard, right?
Well, he's a shooting guard, according to Basketball Reference. Let's see if he has
didn't have that handle.
No Basketball Reference nickname, by the way, for Chris Quinn. Samardo Samuels. Donald Sloan.
Weird.
Maurice Spates. Tristan Thompson. Anderson Varejao, Deion Waiters, Luke Walton, and Tyler Zeller.
Joey, I picked the 1998-99 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's also an extreme surprise that many of these people were on the Cavs. Derek Anderson. and weirdly, 25-year-old Derek Anderson. Mm-hmm. What happened there? Corey Blount.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Boykins. Andrew DeClercq. Danny Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Someone named Letarial Green. Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Kemp. Brevin Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Person.
Mm-hmm.
Vitaly Potapenko.
Yeah.
And Bobby Sura.
Do you want to hear just some random names from the 2009 Cavs? I mean, a lot of them are people you remember, but here's just a couple random names that you probably did not remember were on the team.
Okay.
Joe Smith. Lorenzen Wright.
I did remember Joe Smith because he did that rap.
Did you remember Lorenzen Wright?
No.
Being the Cleveland Cavalier in 2009. But yeah, J.J. Hickson. Totally forgot he was a Cav. I'm going to be honest.
I guess I remembered that, but... Even like old guys that I don't have any familiarity have crazy names. Who's fourth in games played for the Cavaliers? Why, it's Bingo Smith. Who's in fifth place? Hot Rod Williams. And then, like, they have normal guys where you're like, Brad Doherty. That's a normal guy. First pick in the draft. What does he do now? He works in NASCAR. Is he 7 feet tall? Yeah.
So the 2006 Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean, they have some guys you remember, but it's...
I believe this is a team that went to the conference finals. Yeah.
Martinez, Andrew Kevichich, I do remember that name for some reason. Drew Gooden.
Okay.
Zendon Hamilton.
I don't remember.
Alan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Hughes. Zydrunas Ilgauskas, of course. Luke Jackson, LeBron James, Damon Jones.
You got Donnell Marshall?
Here's another. No, we're getting there. Because this foursome here is really where I was like, yep, the Cavs are the answer. Donnell Marshall, Ronald Flip Murray, Ira Neubel.
Oh my God.
Eric Snow. Sasha Pavlovich and Mike Wilkes.
Man, I gotta say, there's an argument that Eric Snow has to be like one of the toughest basketball players of all time. Because I remember 5 years earlier when he was on the Sixers and just being like, man, I don't understand how this guy is starting in the finals.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, he's, like, not good at anything, but he's just really tenacious.
Okay,
he must just be super smart. And yeah.
I actually found the all-time one. This is the all-time... This is maybe the team you would give Christian for the most random.
Oh, okay. But by the way, I just want to add that the Cavs all-time leaders also include a Campy Russell and World Be Free.
So this is LeBron James's rookie year.
Oh, hell yeah.
2004. Tony Battee, Carlos Boozer.
I believe the Lakers once traded Nick Van Exel for Tony Battee.
I believe that's true. Tony Battee, Carlos Boozer, J.R. Bremer, Kedrick Brown, Mateen Cleaves, Ricky Davis, Dejounte Jopp, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, LeBron James, Jason Capono, Jelani McCoy, Jeff McInnes,
yes,
Chris Mim,
Jeff McInnes, who I believe they might have gotten like Darius Miles for or something.
No, it was the other way.
Oh,
around.
They traded Andre Miller.
For, yeah,
for okay, that's right. Sorry.
Chris Mim, Darius Miles, Lee Nalon, Ira Neubel, Kevin Ollie,
hell yeah,
Michael Stewart. Bruno Sundov.
That's Michael Yogi Stewart.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Bruno Sundov, DeJuan Wagner, and Eric Williams.
Wow. Eric Williams is... The whole
list, that's like a Pardo name list of players.
The entire roster.
Yeah.
So here are some people that Tony Battee has been traded for and with.
Uh-huh.
He was traded the Nuggets. He was the fifth pick in the draft. 1 year later, the Nuggets traded Tyronn Lue and Tony Battee for Nick Van Exel. 6 months after that, traded straight up for Travis Knight. Then he was in a trade with Kedrick Brown and Eric Williams for Ricky Davis, Chris Mim, Michael Stewart, and a pick that became Ryan Gomes. And then he was traded for Drew Gooden, Stephen Hunter, and Arizon Varejao. And then he was in... the trade that brought Vince Carter to Orlando. Mm-hmm. It was Hammond, Skip to Milam, and Courtney Lee for Ryan Anderson and Vince Carter.
What an incredible trade.
What a career. Also,
all five of those guys except for Eric Williams, really, but incredible careers in that trade. That's a wild trade.
Tony Battee played for 15 years.
Anyway, the answer is the Cavs, Christian.
In a surprising runaway.
But yeah, if you have a difference of opinion, send us your list of random guys that played for your team, because we definitely want to talk about it.
Yeah, year and team. Ideally one season, but we'll entertain franchise arguments.
Yeah. I like a franchise team too. Let us know. We'll hear anything. All right. We have a call from a friend, Sean. He's been on the show before. Former podcast hosts love calling our show.
It's true. It's true. Like, they like to get out there, work out the old. It's like having a catch,
right?
But in podcast form.
Our friend Josh Androsky at Shut Up Androsky on Twitter. If you live in Los Angeles, I forget what district. Hold on. Actually, I'm going to do this real quick. If you live in Council District 4, vote for Nithya Raman. A, because she's an amazing candidate, and B, because Josh is with that campaign. But more importantly, because she wants to actually solve the homeless population in Los Angeles. So vote for her. But
yeah, your fucking pod, your other sports podcast making endorsements in local city council races. No, I don't think they are.
But our friend Josh called us. Let's hear that right now.
Hello, Roundball Rock Nation. This is Josh Androsky. And yeah, this is the second time I've called because the first one was too rambly. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. As soon as I hung up, I could tell it was too rambly. It was bad. You deserve better. So I'm calling back, leaving a more concise voicemail. Sorry, I'm plugging in my electric car. Ever heard of it? This is already going off the rails. So I was listening to one of your more recent episodes where you had the nerve to say that when comparing James Harden and Russell Westbrook to Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, that Westbrook was the Cross and Harden was the Odenkirk. This is bullshit on multiple levels. One, Westbrook is clearly the Bob Odenkirk, okay? He's the angry one. He's definitely the one that's gone like, oh, come on! Like in that, like, you know, old guy yelling voice that Odenkirk does so well. Also, so look, he was like, you know, the future of comedy, right? Like in this young group that was like taking the industry by storm, a la the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then they all went their separate ways, right? And then what happens? He starts directing all these movies and doing these solo projects, and they're not that great. And so, you know, then what happens? He realizes he's literally the greatest supporting actor in the history of television. And that is very much exactly what Russell Westbrook's doing right now in Houston, playing the most efficient basketball of his career in a supporting role. That's why he still steals all the scenes. You know what I mean? And then finally, James Harden is clearly the David Cross, because of those two, you can easily, way more easily, see James Harden wearing sweatpants and smoking weed all the time. Anyway, thank you. I love you. Bye.
All right, Sean, do you have I have no defense of this. I think he's correct. We got this one wrong.
Well, here's the thing. I think that I was thinking of them in the original incarnation of the show. And I feel like
Bob's the leader for sure.
That is true. But I just felt like he is. My only argument was I actually think that Bob Odenkirk is the more successful leading man.
Yes, I agree.
But I'm not. That doesn't really disqualify him for being Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I think Josh had a good point about the anger, because I had initially thought of David Cross as the angrier one,
but he's
the whinier one.
Yeah.
and like, okay, do you remember when there was like an online beef between Patton Oswalt and David Cross, because Patton Oswalt had made fun of David Cross for being in an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie?
Not really, but it sounds like a very 2012 thing to happen. Yeah,
very, very 2012. Anyway, that seems more like James Harden to me.
And
he's in, like, James Harden is willing to do shittier projects, mm-hmm. I would say. Whereas Russell Westbrook's weird things don't suffer from a lack of ambition. Mm-hmm. They just maybe aren't very good. But, like, I couldn't see Russell Westbrook just being in a commercial where he, like, rode in the back of a car while Trevor Ariza was singing.
Right. either way, compelling arguments both ways. We love you, Josh. Call us again.
Yeah, call back, dude.
In fact, Josh, if you want to be the person who corrects us when we're wrong, feel free to do that. Our stat boy, if you will. We will even let you on the air with the Ash Wednesday mark on your forehead. That's a PTI joke. I don't know why I told it. All right! we got a great call from someone who forgot to say his name.
It was a really good call, though.
If you call, please say your name. And caller who called with this, please call back and tell us you did it so we can give you proper credit. Because former stand-up comedians, we are all about giving credit. And that's why we hate Fuck Jerry.
That's right. And that's why I've decided to work for Bloomberg as well, because they've been stealing my jokes about how Bernie's gay.
But let's hear that call from our friend, the listener.
Yeah.
Hey, Joey. Hey, Sean. Just wanted to call and talk about the dunk contest. Do you think Dwayne Wade threw the vote? Did he bring it for the Heat? Do you need to take a shit and leave the court? If you could break the dunk contest, how would you do it? Would you buy off the judge? Would you incorporate elaborate dance moves? Anyways, love Round Ball Rock. I'll take my call off the air. Thank you.
All right. So, Sean, he had a couple of questions. I wrote them down.
Yes.
Do you think Dwayne Wade threw the vote at the dunk contest?
I'm going to say 99%. Yes.
Did he rig it for the Heat?
Yes, he did it for the team.
Did he take a shit and leave the court?
I think he may have tried to accelerate it because he needed to take a shit, and then he had to leave the court for that. I wasn't fully paying attention to the very end. Mm-hmm. So I became very convinced of the vote rigging afterwards. Because also the other thing that happened was one of the judges was Tom Perez, head of the Democratic National Congress.
Yeah, I heard Debbie Wasserman Schultz was actually the one who made the rules.
Yeah, it's weird.
That
just seemed weird to me.
But more importantly, I'm going to ask his real question here, all three of them right in a row. If you could rig the dunk contest, how would you do it? Would you buy off the judge? Would you incorporate elaborate dance moves?
Well, I think Dwayne Wade was smart because he essentially exploited the judge's inability to do math at that point in the evening on All-Star Weekend. Like, you know, like, if Dikembe Mutombo is one of the judges, that's not going to work. If Shaq is one of the judges, you can probably get him with an arithmetic scam. But, like,
hey, wait, Shaq's a doctor, man.
Oh, you're right, you're right. I apologize. What, does he have a doctorate in criminology?
I think that's correct, yeah.
And being a fucking narc. That's yeah, right.
For being a dirty ass cop, doctor, which we haven't mentioned
doctor,
in a while.
Dr. Narc.
We need to
Shaq is a dirty cop.
Shaq's a dirty cop. Never forget.
Shaq participated in a armed like SWAT home invasion when Sheriff Joe's boys like knocked down the door of the wrong house with a battering ram.
And that is why when Kyrie Irving goes full Dorner, Shaq is who he's going to murder first.
Yes. By the way, like, imagine how scary that is when you have not, I mean, even if you have committed a crime, it's very scary to have the police knock down your door. But, like, you're completely confused at what's happening.
Because there's you didn't do anything.
With, yeah. All these people have guns. You're on the ground. You've been cuffed. And then Shaq walks in.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like a hidden camera show at that point?
I have no idea. here's how... how you didn't answer, did you? Oh, no, math. You do it through math?
I think that's the easiest way, and
but
then the other.
You're gonna rig a dunk contest. Come on, like rig a dunk contest. You know
you're
what
right,
I mean?
You're right. He saw an opportunity. If you're gonna rig it,
this is the doing it through the math is like the most Pete Buttigieg way to rig a dunk contest.
I mean, doesn't Dwayne Wade have a little bit in common with Mayor Pete? A little bit. So yeah, I guess I would say. How would I rig the dunk contest? I think bribery is like easily the best way to do it, especially if you pick the right retired athlete. Like, imagine Scottie Pippen's one of the judges.
Mm-hmm. What would
got
you bribe
scammed
Scottie
by that
with?
Plane guy.
Money? You do it with money?
Yeah, cash. Cash for Scottie. Or like movable shit, like
mm-hmm.
Kruger, gold Krugerrands, maybe. You know what I mean? Like a ruby, rare coins, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley, I don't think is bribable. Dr. J?
Charles Barkley is either the least bribable or the most bribable. It's unclear.
I just don't think you can like bribe him in conventional ways.
Right.
Like
exactly.
he'll rig the dunk contest if he thinks it's funny, but there's like no amount of money that can just buy him for something like
right.
that. I mean, there's an amount of money, but not a realistic dunk contest rigging amount.
Dr. J, I feel like you have to blackmail.
Right. Like incriminating photos. He did have a secret daughter. So, yeah, like, you know, something weird that happened on the set of The Fish Who Saved Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What about like Lisa Leslie? How do you bribe Lisa Leslie?
I don't think you can.
She might not be bribable.
She has so much integrity. You only need to bribe one, right?
That's true, actually. All you need is because there's enough if you get someone to give a 7, you knock somebody out, you know.
Even an 8'll do it at this point. Yeah. They only give 9s and 10s.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I would do is do what the CIA did to Aaron Gordon, and I would you know rig their drone, I'd hack their drone.
That's more the way I'm thinking, man. You know what I'm doing?
Like sabotaging the stuff.
I am bribing a much cheaper person, and that's the basketball ops person. And
uh-huh.
I'm raising that rim 2 inches.
Okay, and you're telling your preferred guy.
Well, I think yeah, and I'm just saying you gotta jump. It's not gonna be where it normally is. You have to pay attention to it.
You're telling Derek Jones Jr. It's gonna be.
He can get up there. He just has to be cognizant of it. Where most of these guys, they're just used to the hoop being 10 feet tall.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But if it's 10 feet 2 inches tall, I don't know, man. I think they're gonna miss a lot of dunks.
The other thing I'm doing is building up the height of the balsa wood plane 2 inches higher. So, like, your feet drag across it when you try to jump on it.
So you want to hurt a guy in the dunk contest?
No, I just think someone might have done that to John Collins. I'm a Tuskegee Airman dunk conspiracy theorist.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the court. The balsa
wood plane. No, the balsa
That's
wood plane.
That's so funny.
I'm a Collins truther. They set him up with that PED test, too. He didn't do it.
The other thing I would do is, I think you could just bribe a passer.
Oh, right, right, right.
You find out who's doing the passing. You know what I mean? Just or like, hey, miss that pass, man.
Or somebody, like, sets off a firecracker and then Taco Fall stands up and Aaron Gordon is killed. You know what I mean? Like if a guy isn't bending down, you kind of can't dunk over that many people. It's like dunking over people. Like, better be like a mascot or have some thematic
thing. I want to see people jump over more things.
Yeah, things, not people. Because people can dunk. And it's like, oh, you dunked over Chance the Rapper. Like,
what is he, 5'9"?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just, like, it's not like he's even that short or anything, but he's like a normal...
That fucking like mascot dude that Aaron Gordon jumped over that time is probably 6'2" and standing on a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Like, if they're not moving at this point, because again, that mascot was moving.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, come on. Just...
But yeah, jump over a big birthday cake.
Weird objects. Jump over a big birthday cake. Someone should win that. Yeah.
Yeah. And blow out the candle. Do the tribute to the birthday cake dunk. You'll have my heart forever.
Jumping over a giant thing. And then when you win, you can smear the cake at people. You know what I mean? Like, giant cake.
Yeah. Come on. I want to see someone dunk over the three-point contest.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so tight. Yeah, like one guy just takes off. Okay, this is what I would love to see. Someone is secretly a dunk contest contestant. Mm-hmm. And in the skills challenge, mm-hmm. they actually just, like, rip off a fucking crazy dunk.
Well, sometimes and they're guys like,
that
do,
was a soft
do,
open,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So that's all our calls.
Yeah, that's
wait,
it.
What?
Good set of wait, call.
What's happening?
Big Corbs Corner.
Oh, no, it's Big Corbs' music again.
What?
Big Corbs Corner. Big Corb's Corner. A call from Corb's.
Hey, one more thing. Big Corb's, obviously. If you're out there and you want to support my fight against the savages who think it's appropriate to mock me, hop on Twitter, hashtag I stand with Big Corb, hashtag I love Big Corb. Let's get it trending, people. Let's teach these people. If you can't make fun of Corbin on a podcast, bye.
All right, well, that was Big Corb's. If you want to hear more from Big Corb's, use the hashtag I stand with Big Corbs, or the hashtag I love Big Corbs. Let's see these people. I guess.
Also, I guess hashtag you can't make fun of Corbin on a podcast. I don't know if that one's going to take off.
All right. We also got some traditional reader mail. You want to do those?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's hear from all our readers of all stripes.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean. This is, I'm going to say, the main event of the episode, right? It took us 55 minutes to get here, but we've been thinking about this one all day.
I don't know what it was about this question. It came to us on Twitter.
Our friend at @1_chain_aka. _1_chain_aka wife guy is goals asked, important question for the pod. Who or what is the NBA equivalent of the young Sheldon? There's something about this question, Sean, that I think it's the best question anyone's ever tweeted at us. It really gets to the heart of both the NBA and our podcast, I feel like.
Right. Okay, so for people who don't know about young Sheldon.
Well, that is the title of this episode.
So Sheldon, the main character of the Big Bang Theory, got an origin story, a sitcom called Young Sheldon, mm-hmm. where a child delivers the origin of the beloved Jim Parsons.
I'm going to say right now, this is a weirdly Big Bang Theory heavy episode of the show.
Yeah.
Because our friend Josh Androsky once won $1 million on a slot machine, a Big Bang Theory slot machine.
He did. Yeah. Also, I mean, while we're plugging Josh's television related accomplishments, just go to YouTube and look up Skateboard Rabbi.
Yeah, you should do
Price
that.
Price is Right.
Anyway, Josh, back to you explaining the Young Sheldon.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's also a Chuck Lorre production. The creator.
It's a prequel to the Big Bang Theory.
It's a prequel. There's not a lot of sitcoms that are prequels. I guess. Yeah. What sitcoms are prequels, Joey?
I can't think of any.
I mean, there's my unproduced spec script for Young Frasier.
Yo, that is a good idea.
It's the Young Frasier Mysteries.
You should not say that on a podcast, just like my address.
I set that title in a registered mail envelope to myself.
I don't think there are any other prequel sitcoms, at least.
No, I think it's unprecedented.
I mean, there's plenty of sequels.
There's also not a lot of dramas that rely on the prequel.
Uh-huh.
Like, This Is Us has it built in, but there's never, like... All right. I'm sure there
are... Well, there's the Young Indiana Jones.
Right.
But, yeah. So, I'll run through real quick before we get to our answers.
Yeah.
Our friends, the Super Hoopers, subscribe to them wherever you listen to podcasts, suggested Nick Gilbert.
Cavs owner Dan Gilbert's son.
Son, which is a great answer because you get the look for sure. The bow tie. He wears bow ties just like Young Sheldon.
Uh-huh. He's like old and young at the same time, too.
But I never get... Nick Gilbert seems a little fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like going to the draft lottery.
It's
not like rubbing it in everyone's face, you know.
Our friend Josh Androsky, again, Big Bang Theory expert, said the post-Oscar Nunez State Farm guy, Alfonso Carlton Ribeiro, but except that's not who it is, Sean. It's the new Jake from State Farm, isn't it? Isn't that the State Farm agent now, or is it Alfonso Ribeiro?
He's fake Chris Paul, right?
No, there's a new non-Oscar Nunez agent.
Oh, is that what he's talking about?
Yeah,
I thought he meant the star.
No.
Okay.
Is
that Jake from State Farm?
I don't think it's Jake, but anyway, I think if it's one, it's not that though. I think it's not that guy. I think it's actually Oscar, right?
Oh, Oscar Nunez is.
Yeah, because he replaced Cliff Paul.
Right.
So he's like the prequel to Cliff Paul.
And the things this says about Chris Paul's identity are very interesting. That he's had both an identical twin separated at birth and an imposter.
Yeah, uh-huh. but I don't think he's at all the Young Sheldon of the NBA. I'm sure we'll get a call next week from Josh yelling at us about how he is. Matt Garboden said, is it Harold Miner, a.k.a. Baby Jordan?
Yeah, he actually just sent us a gift
right.
of Harold Miner, but...
I think Harold Miner is a little too fun to be Young Sheldon. Michael Jordan's not correct here. He is not at all Sheldon related.
yeah. I mean, I do appreciate that it is like, you know, I mean, it very technically letter of the law.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And our friend Juice Manji, Julian Rodriguez at Juice Manji on Twitter, said, I don't understand this question, but I feel it, which is how I felt.
We also got an answer from Colin McGowan.
Oh, I know.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
Part of, sorry. I think, We did get one who I think is an absolute contender. One of the most this is maybe the correct answer. Our friend Colin McGowan, who you can read at Real GM, follow him on Twitter at CS McGowan, said with zero hesitation, Donovan Mitchell.
Ooh. Ooh.
It feels pretty good, doesn't it?
He's old and young. Mm-hmm. He's like he's on the nerd, kind of a nerd
young
team.
Young Sheldon would definitely tell you the definition of rookie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like he would develop the screen assist method of observing basketball. He's like both arrogant and needy at the same time.
He's obsessed with Spider-Man in he like seems, unaffiliated.
Doesn't he seem bullyable to you?
Yes.
I mean, not by like us, but
right
by his peers. Yeah, and like even the broadcasters are kind of nerds. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you see Donovan Mitchell describing like a teacher as his best friend?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so that's our first contender, Sean.
That's a good answer. Have? I thought, you know, this is a little strict to the letter of the law, but in terms of being the sequel to something that was pretty popular, but I didn't really think was like especially good,
mm-hmm.
and also kind of unfairly had a reputation for like being very intellectual. Mm-hmm. Austin Rivers, he's like young Doc, and it was kind of like I guess we got excited about this, and he got picked high in the draft, and then it just seems like something that no one really wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure like he's worked with talented people, but at the same time, you're like, I didn't really want another one of these.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple in my mind. I think Richard Jefferson is a contender for young Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's more of a feel thing. I can't really explain why Richard Jefferson is a young Sheldon motherfucker, but he is. But my answer is actually CJ McCollum is the young Sheldon of the NBA.
Oh, wow. And I like
because
this.
Because Dame is old Sheldon. Mm-hmm. He's real Sheldon. CJ is fake Sheldon. he wears fucking bow ties. He's a fucking square. He's not that fun, but fans of the team have convinced themselves he's fun.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, diehard Big Bang people love young Sheldon, right? They got to. So it's like diehard Blazer fans, they love Dame, they love the Blazers. They've like convinced themselves CJ is both he's a fun player and a fun personality.
Right.
He has a podcast, which is a young Sheldon-ass thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Like, it seems like he's already, like, angling to be a broadcaster, even though he's still very young in his career,
which is
like a young Sheldon-ass thing to do. I think it's CJ McCollum.
I could help you correct the homework.
Yeah.
Can I tell you some people that you might not know are affiliated with young Sheldon and on the show?
Yeah, for sure.
Annie Potts.
Cool. Love Annie Potts. She's cool.
Bob Newhart.
Uh-huh. One of the best.
And Reba McEntire.
I love Reba. Yeah, just like CJ McCollum in the Portland Trailblazers, young Sheldon is surrounded by cool ass, talented, fun people.
And then the guy who plays Pauly G on The Comeback.
I've never watched The Comeback, but
okay. Well, he's been in a lot of stuff too. Okay. But yeah.
Great question.
Oh, by the way, also he played. Here's the last line of his filmography section, Joey.
Who?
For Lance Barber.
Okay.
Barber played Jimmy Speckerman, who bullied Leonard Hofstadter at high school in one episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
He was then cast as George Cooper Sr., father of Sheldon Cooper, in the spinoff Young Sheldon that premiered in 2017.
and mentioned that some fans were confused because he played different roles in the two related series.
Yeah, that's like the first time I saw Captain America, the first Avenger, I was like, why is the Human Torch Captain America? All right. Excellent question at One Chain. Keep them coming, baby. We love a good question. And also, if you've got a suggestion about who you think young Sheldon is, you'll let us know, guys. All right, our friend M. Burchett asks, who's the vice president of the NBA?
My answer was Jeff Green because he's a heartbeat away.
That's pretty good. I think it's Chris Paul, dude.
I think he's too effectual.
But I just think if LeBron James dies, it's like Chris Paul becomes in charge. You know what I mean? Just like at the Union. He's like a wartime.
But I mean, he was the president of the Union.
I know, but he wasn't. You know what I mean? He was the Bush to LeBron's Cheney. You know what I mean?
I think he's too much. I think he's like way too much of a bully. It needs to be like, it's more like Mello is much more of a vice president. You know what I mean? Like,
that's pretty
doesn't
good.
Threaten the throne.
Oh, then the correct answer is actually Malcolm Brogdon. He should be, his nickname should be the vice president.
President, yeah. Right.
He has more like, of a vice president vibe.
is he going to make the All-Star team? No, but he could break a tie in the Senate.
Yeah. all right, our friend Beeps asks, I play in a casual 35-plus rec league. What should my pregame hype music be besides the Roundball Rock SoundCloud, of course?
Well, I'm glad he acknowledged the correct answer. But okay, so you're
are we talking the intro music or hype up music here?
It's pregame music, not intro music. It's what you listen to while you're getting ready to psych yourself up, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we got I think now for me, I don't really know anything about Beeps, but for me, this is a situation that calls for a little genre of music I call not so hip hop.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You can't play like Kendrick Lamar at an over 35 rec league. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can't even really play Jay-Z, but I do kind of feel like you could play like a Tribe Called Quest song to psych yourself up. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be a little more like, I'm not pretending that I'm in, you know, a 30 and over rec league right now. I still want to get hyped, but and also I feel like it shouldn't be I feel like it still should be like some music with a beat to it, you know.
My answer is Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks on repeat. All right.
the other thing I think would work very well is like a 13-minute LCD Sound System song.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like just the right amount of time to get really loose and not pull your groin.
All right, do you want to deal with our rebuttal, Sean?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this rebuttal very quickly, and then
bad plastic surgery and then get out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so last episode we got a question about who had the NBA's worst tattoos, and we got to explore
the
delightful.
At the time, we correctly answered Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, just like because it's a fucking carnival on his body, and Richard Jefferson is not an active player, nor is Kenyon Martin. But in the interim, Jason Tatum got a large tattoo on his back, that said "God's God's will."
Yeah, the most generic, like old English 90s hip hop script possible.
It looks
like Grand Theft Auto, Los Santos, that one.
I'm just imagining if like Eminem came on the radio when my mom was in the car and she shut her eyes, that's what she would see.
Yeah, it's the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas font.
Yeah, that's the best description. And it says God's will, but without an apostrophe.
Yeah.
So it is.
So it's like he's a will and he's labeled. Like, it's like when God dies, we have to talk to Jason Tatum about to see who inherits the earth or whatever. Even though we all know it's the meek.
I think it might be a statement about polytheism.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened. He played with Kyrie for 2 years, man. Mm-hmm. You think he's not like, well, you know, and I can't rule out like Gaia or, you know, Xenu. Mm-hmm.
My question
is, I'm going to hedge my bets with this punctuation.
The one thing I have to say about Jason Tatum's terrible tattoo is the tattoo artist that put that on him should be in prison.
Uh-huh.
Because he is not over 18 and is not old enough to get a tattoo.
He is too young. Were his parents there?
Yeah, did his mom sign guardian? Off on it? Did Bill does Simmons Brad sign Stevens off on
it? Oh, Bill Simmons probably did. That's why he got it in L.A. when they were playing the Lakers, because Bill could drive him there.
Anyway, it's a bad tattoo. I still kind of think it might be. It's not as... I've seen versions of that bad tattoo before. I've never seen, you know, the fedora, the boxing gloves, the the Spartan helmet before. So, I don't know. I'm on the fence about who has the worst tattoo.
It is so jarring to see that, though. And I don't know if we've ever posted something on Twitter that had so much... of like a visceral response that mm-hmm. people like really it like inspires anger from people.
Yeah.
We got a lot of comments in Spanish after we posted that. Just feels
they were
like
on
it,
our
like,
side saying it was a bad tattoo. But
yeah. But it just like something about the badness of that too just like goes right to you to
mm-hmm.
like your lizard brain. You know what I mean? Like you're not even consciously thinking about the tattoo, you're just like, no,
well,
stay
it
away.
It just sort of seems like we should be past the point, like tattoos are popular enough where now we should be past the point where people are getting tattoos that bad. We're like in the early 2000s, late 90s, it's like, yeah, okay, like, you know, the tattoos being popular on not like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's do the this news story real quick.
Yeah.
First off, robot, play the news drop.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our enemy, Mark Cuban... is stealing valor from the Houston Rockets.
Oh, man.
Do you want to explain what's happening here?
Yeah, so we thought that there was one team in Texas that was auditing the living shit out of these referees that are, you know, ruining the Boston Celtics' chances every mm-hmm. time, denying the Portland Trailblazers their rightfully gained layups. But no, there was one team that's very angry. The Dallas Mavericks are protesting in a game where they lost to the Atlanta Hawks mm-hmm. by 2 points. And Mark Cuban went on... Well, this is from... I'm just going to read you some quotes from at Mark Cuban. I believe this is an Ice Rocket account. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Or it could be a Cyberdust account. I'm not sure. Possibly a Twitter. And he just... ripped the officials. He said, so they call a goaltend. They literally blew the whistle that it was a goaltend. There was a putback after the whistle. After review, they said, no goaltend, but count the basket. WTF is that? That's NBA officiating. So what happened was Atlanta was up 109-107 with the ball. I think there were 7 seconds left. And the refs blew the whistle because they thought it was a goaltend. And then they reviewed it, found it wasn't a goaltend, but because John Collins caught the rebound like while the whistle was blowing mm-hmm. and there was no one in front of him, he got the continuation. So seemingly the correct call, I believe, mm-hmm. according to the rules of the NBA. So he is playing the game under protest. He's paying the $10,000 that could be seating so many inventors mm-hmm. on Shark Tank. Yeah.
He's taking money from a child who's invented a new cookie.
And then he said, and of course that comes after DeLon intentionally kicked the ball as he was getting thrown down to stop play. They don't. That's the play that would foul out Maxey. It's like, okay, so I guess they did miss a kicked ball. But at the same time, I don't know how much you're defending your player just kicking the ball out of bounds in a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Refs have bad games. Crews have bad games. But this isn't a single game issue. This is the same shit that's been going on for 20 years. Hire former refs who think they know how to hire, train, and manage. Realize 2 years later they can't. Repeat. In the past 12 years, it's been Ronnie Nunn, Don Vaden, Bob Delaney, and now Monty McCutcheon. What do they all have in common? You know the definition of insanity?
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna say, on behalf of our friends at Fast Break Breakfast podcast, you should also check out, how dare you, Mark Cuban? Mm-hmm. You do not talk about a referee like that.
Uh-huh.
That's a hardworking man. He's doing his best. He's getting these calls right. They're just going against your team, Mark Cuban. And now you're disrespecting Monty freaking McCutcheon.
What I want.
How dare you, sir?
What I want to say is, I don't know, Mark, maybe people don't like it when things happen to them that they don't want to happen. So maybe you should think about that.
Yeah.
Just also, something to chew on, dude.
I also saw a picture. He's now dyeing his hair orange.
Oh, sick. He's like Doug Collins?
Like Doug Collins. I mean, Doug Collins, like Rick Barry.
Rick Barry's the number one.
He's like, just that like he's been dusted with a handful of tang.
Al Michaels.
Oh, yeah, really, really.
Bob Costas, they all do it. Yeah, I'm sure Buck will be getting it from him soon.
Mark Cuban's doing it because he has jet black hair. But you know what? Nothing above the neck is like original parts anymore. So, also, Mark Cuban's the only owner who sits on the bench like a child visiting the cockpit of a plane, pretending that he has a big boy job, and he just wants to fucking yell at people.
All right, that's our show. Sean, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I got an article about Zion on Yard Barker.
Ooh, do you call him too fat?
I did not body shame him. Was I really mean to anybody? Oh, I said that that the Lakers Pelican series might like make the NBA the money they lost to China as long as Lonzo Ball doesn't tweet about Taiwanese sovereignty, which is a terrible idea. Our Chinese listeners, please.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on July 2nd, 2009, I tweeted, "Dear scorpions that sneak into my house, you will die a slow, painful death of being flushed down the toilet."
Man, I mean, fair enough.
I mean, it's not even his best scorpion tweet, but you know
it's
what?
It's not, but you know what? Look, we didn't want to explore the whole world.
Uh-huh. Have I ever read this one? We're on June 29th, 2012, I tweeted, "Just got stung by a scorpion. Never felt pain like this. Leg numb. Vision blurry. I think I'm dying."
Oh my god.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. It's another Kevin Love song. This is one of my more ambitious technical efforts of all time. I hope you'll bear with me. It's one I made with my good friends Brian May and Rami Malek, and it's called Somebody for Love.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Keep sending us calls.
Ow, ow, ow.
Can anybody trade me somebody for love? Go out and lose. Can't barely stand these defeats.
Take a look at at the payroll and cry. Kevin, what you doing to me? I made a mistake in extending you, and I just can't get cap relief. Lord, somebody, can anybody trade me? Somebody for love. He plays hard. Every couple of games, he'll board and he gets his points. At the end of the game, he takes home $353,000. He looks down at the fridge, chugs the milk till the chocolate pours down from his beard. Lord, somebody, can anybody trade me? Somebody for love.
Don't play hard any day.
You don't try. But everybody turns trade offers down. They say he's gotten lazy. I just want to get a future pick. Got turned down by the Knicks. I've got nobody left I can deal with.
He just quit moving his feet.
He's so white.
More than
60 defeats. I've just got to get out of this long-term deal. He's signed until 2023. Lord, trade me somebody for love. Can anybody trade me somebody for love? Trade me somebody for love.
Trade me somebody for love.
Trade me somebody for love. Somebody, anybody, anywhere. A second round pick will do. Oh, I'd settle for a second round pick swap. Promising D-League for love. Anybody in the CBA, even if they got the coronavirus. Anybody, we just gotta get him off the team. Trade me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.